Hi, welcome back to episode 8 of the Friends in Faith Collective. I'm Marina.
I'm Sam.
And on today's episode, we are going to be touching on the art of expectation. I don't know if anyone out there is like me in struggling with putting certain expectations on people or situations and then end up being led to disappointment. Mm-hmm. I'm no stranger in this ballpark as well. I know that there's been times where people have had expectations of me that I simply did not fulfill and have let them disappointed and down, but wanted to talk a little bit about it because it was very evident with me within the last 2 weeks of particular instances of expectations that I was expecting people to do or to say or to act, which led me very disappointed, very stressed, and very angry. And I had to do a self-reflection after I moved past that anger and say, I am the one who is now in this space of being disappointed because I put those expectations on those people.
Right.
And it, had I not put those expectations on those people of wanting them to do X, Y, Z, I wouldn't have felt disappointed or let down. But as we're talking about this topic, it's kind of hard not to have expectations with certain people.
Yeah, super hard.
Especially if you feel that you go above and beyond or you do and give so much of yourself to certain people and they don't reciprocate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it's frustrating, kind of. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only one that deals with this. Is it just me?
No, it's not just you. It leads, expectations definitely lead to disappointment, sometimes resentment, sometimes anger. But I think most of the time, like for me, I find that most of the time it hurts my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a vicious cycle of me hurting my own feelings.
That's, you took the words out of my mouth. I couldn't get them out. But that's exactly the point. You are the one that is hurting your own feelings by having these expectations.
Yeah.
Which I feel like if I'm truly being honest with myself, these expectations that I have put on these certain individuals have let me down before, or should I say I'm not surprised that they've let me down.
Right.
And yet I was hoping for a different outcome this time from this person. Maybe this time they'll actually do this, or it'll actually happen, or they will put forth the effort that I give and match my energy. And yet it doesn't happen. You're hurting your own feelings doing that. And I've shared this topic with my mom before on many occasions. And one of the things that she has told me, and she had said my dad at the time years ago had told her, when we don't understand this, is his response to her was, well, not everyone has the same heart as you.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times I can speak for myself, and, you know, Sam, you can chime in at any moment, but I am a very giving, loving person, and I truly do love to give and do for others out of, that's just my heart. I don't expect anything back all the time. But I will be honest and say that I would like a little cookie crumble here and there. I would like, sure, a little effort and appreciate. I guess that's my biggest thing, is if I don't feel appreciated and acknowledged for the things that I do, I tend to grow resentment because I feel like I'm being taken advantage of.
Yeah, I think that's pretty normal. And something I just wrote down was, as you were talking about it, I was thinking love languages have some kind of connection here with expectation and, right, like how we show love and how we want to receive love. And that's in all aspects, right? It doesn't have to necessarily be like love, but like your way of giving and receiving, almost like a trade. Mm-hmm. Like I'm giving this and I'm expecting you to give this in return.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with family. That's with friends. It happens at work or with employers, right? It happens with strangers. Like, if I open the door for you, I expect you to say thank you. And if you don't, I'm going to give you a dirty look from the back. You know, it's, I think, human nature that we are, that we hold expectations of people. It's definitely something we have to unlearn. And it's not an easy one to unlearn. I feel like every week we're like, we're talking about this and it's hard, but that's kind of the point of why we're here. But like last week we talked about building walls and the difference between walls versus boundaries, and then the difference of healthy boundaries and unhealthy boundaries. But building walls and expectations kind of go hand in hand. Like, if you are holding an expectation of someone and they don't reciprocate or they don't meet your expectation, you then have disappointment in them, anger, frustration, hurt feelings, resentment, right? And then you, there's like a building block starting to build your wall. So they kind of coincide together.
Yeah, Sam's checking me, man. She's like, look, Marina, you're building a wall. Knock it off. We just talked about that.
Do you need to go back and watch episode 7?
I think I need to go back and listen to my own words. She just gut punched me with that one. But hey, it is the truth. Yeah. It is the truth. It's a part of building that wall and resentment, because I'm not putting that boundary there for myself to not have that expectation. But I like how you mentioned the love language, because that's truly spot on. And I think that's where it lies, because we tend to do the things for others that are our love languages.
Right.
And funnily enough, I don't know if that's a word, funny enough, funnily is not a word. So embarrassing. Funny enough, we tend to be married to those who have the opposite love languages. So it's very hard to connect and make sure you're doing it, because a lot of times you're doing your love language and your spouse is like, that's not mine. And it's, you know, Spanish, English. If I'm talking to my husband in Spanish all the time and he doesn't know, right, and he's speaking in English, we're not going to be able to connect because we're not speaking the same language.
Right.
It's the same thing with the love languages. So I'm curious, what's your love language? Do you know yours?
I'm not sure I know. I feel like I'm all five.
I think we all have that piece in us. Usually there's like two to three that like really stand out. One main and like two.
I think acts of service is one for me. Gift.
Mm-hmm. Gifts.
Gifting. Yeah. It's also one that I do like to do. But I love to receive gifts. It's one that my husband's really good at. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know that I know 100%. I probably need to take that online test or whatever that tells me.
I think we should take that test again. I know what mine are, but it would also be a cool feature if you guys have never taken that love language test, or you're asking yourself, what the heck is a love language and what are you talking about? There's five love languages. It's acts of service, gifts, words of affirmation, physical touch, and
quality time.
Those are the five love languages. And I can tell you my number one is words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. If you can tell me you appreciate me or give me some kind words or encouraging words, like, that's going to fill my love tank. And gifts is my second. Physical touch comes in a very close third to that second. I'm a hugger. I love to hug. I love to cuddle. My husband, it's not one of his top two or three love languages, but I can say that he's done a very great job over we just celebrated 19 years of marriage this week.
Yeah.
Our anniversary did not go so planned. We had some things going on in our house, plumbing issues, water had to be turned off. It was good way to spend
you
the anniversary.
You didn't set any expectations, did you?
No, I did not. Actually, we really did not have anything planned. We're going to try to go away this weekend. Hopefully we can manage that still. But over the years that we've been married, the 19 years, he's done a very good job in connecting with me on that love language of the physical touch and the cuddles. But words of affirmation and gifts are my top two. It doesn't have to be pricey. And that's one thing I've shared with him early in our marriage. Like, you don't have to go out and buy me designer or even spend a whole lot of money. Write a note and stick it somewhere. That's two gifts because you're giving me words. Mm-hmm. And the gift that I'm not expecting anything, but I just wake up to a note like that. It's simple and it didn't cost you anything.
Yep.
But if you guys don't know your love languages or you're interested, I know that's kind of a separate but not so separate topic. We'll have to find that online test and maybe include it or post that link.
I think you saying that it's not necessarily like one or two, like we are affiliated with all five mm-hmm. in some way, shape or form. I think it ranking, like you were doing, like this is my first, my second, mm-hmm. third. I think, yes, we all like to have all five or give all five, but they rank. They fall into a ranking system. I think that's a good way of thinking of it, because here I am thinking like I'm a spoiled brat and I like all five.
No, we definitely all. I mean, who I love quality time. Yeah. There's certain people that I love to have quality time with. My husband, yes, is one of them. I wouldn't consider it my number one, and not to say that I don't want to spend time with my husband. It's just not that high of a ranking as him sitting on the couch with me and watching a movie versus him telling me, I appreciate you, you're beautiful, you're such an amazing mom. Like, these words mm-hmm. mean more than sitting right. on the couch and watching a movie.
Right.
Not that they don't matter, but the ranking in it, like, this means, and that's what the online test is. Would you rather your spouse do this or this for you? And you have to mark which one you would prefer. And that's what gives you your love languages and the ranking that they would give you.
Yeah, and so, there's also a book, too, that goes with it if mm-hmm. anyone's interested in reading the book. I have it, but I, of course, have not read it.
I think the test is in the back of the book, too.
Give me a little hint. Hey, girl, read this book.
Well, and like I said, funny, mine are words and gifts with a very close physical touch. My husband's, acts of service, and quality time, his top two.
Yeah, you guys are opposite.
The ones that are my bottom ranking are his top two. If I'm cooking a meal for him or doing his laundry and he doesn't have to ask or worry about it, that's his language right there. Mm-hmm. I've met his love tank right there. And so it typically is, you have to, when we're doing things for others, we tend to do things in our language. I tell him I appreciate him all the time and how much I respect him and all the things, and I'm giving him all the words and I'm giving him all the cuddles and smothering him. And not mm-hmm. to say he doesn't appreciate them, but it doesn't fill his love tank as if I were to go downstairs and do three loads of his laundry and pack him a lunch.
Yeah, it doesn't hold the same weight.
Right.
That's something, being newly married, I'm still learning. And it's funny that we're talking about this today, because I did think about it in the last, probably within the last, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks. I kind of had to. Yeah, I was having a moment of checking myself, because I'm like, do I even know what his love language is? Because we're butting heads in certain areas, which is normal. Mm-hmm. But maybe if I better understood his love language, it would take a little bit of that tension out, because I may know how to better communicate with him. And communication can be in more than just saying words out of your mouth, right? Communicating could be doing laundry. Communicating could be cooking a meal. Communication could be loving and hugging and touching. But I think communication is also such a massive part of expectations, because we're holding an expectation of someone to do XYZ or to be XYZ.
And they're not even aware.
They have no freaking clue.
And if we don't communicate that with them, my husband has told me this before, when I've had expectations of him mm-hmm. and I felt let down or disappointed, and then I tell him about that, he's often told me, well, babe, you need to tell me this. I'm not a mind reader. How do you expect me to know this if you don't communicate and tell me? I'm like, you're just supposed to know, okay? Like, you're supposed to get
read my brain.
Read the hints. But yes, communication is a huge thing, because if we don't tell them, how are they supposed to know?
Yeah. And you, right, we talked about last week also at the end of the episode, we kind of talked about, we took it a little bit more personal than we normally do and kind of put just our friendship out there. And like, this is something that we've worked on in our friendship. Mm-hmm. You told me, like, I asked you one day when this is happening or when I can see that you're getting distant, or if I can see a difference in you, what things can I do to help you? Because mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We mentioned, our friendship is newer. We're still learning a lot about each other, just like I'm learning a lot about my husband, right? It's connections in any way. There's still so many things I'm learning about my parents, and still learning about my family and friends that I've been friends with forever. And I had to just straight up ask you, what do you need from me? What do I need to do to meet, I don't know, I don't want to say your expectation, but what are you needing from me? Mm-hmm. And you told me. Mm-hmm. And there's been times where I've given you that and you're like, oh, wow, that totally filled my cup and I needed that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
That was it.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you coming up and asking that, because I appreciate people that will do that. I was never the one to ruffle feathers or bring up or say something. I just kind of kept quiet and kept moving forward.
Sure.
But I do respect the people that do come forth and say something, because then it allows me to feel safe enough to open up, because they genuinely want to know.
Yeah. And of course, opposite, because that's me and you are always opposite. I am the confrontational one. And I have been a lot. And it's something that I'm trying to unlearn, because mm-hmm. it hasn't always served me in the past. I mean, I feel like the word confrontation just carries a negative energy anyways. But I've pushed away so many friends because I am so confrontational, because I'm like, what is your deal? And people are like, excuse me? Like, what's your deal?
Isn't that the beauty of growth, though? It's like, you're yeah. this super confrontational and you're like, I need to bring it down a little bit because mm-hmm. I'm pushing people away. And here I'm like, I need to bring it out a little more because I'm not speaking or sharing things. Yep. And that's the beautiful part of any relationship or friendship, is that when you have those opposites, you somewhat balance and bring things out or calm each other down. Or my husband's completely chill, stay at home, not around a lot of people. And I'm the complete opposite. So I bring him out. And he settles me down a little bit, because if I didn't have him in my life and Jesus, who knows where I would be?
God knows where I'd be.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I'm sure it's by no accident that the people that we're put with in marriage and relationships and family and work environments, we're not put there by mistake. We're put there to learn about ourselves, to learn about others, to grow, to heal. You know, one thing I did see in this was like a true testament to expectations. So something most people who are watching may not know about me is I used to be a flight attendant. And this was probably 7 years ago or so. And I did some traveling on my flight benefits for fun outside of work. And I had planned a trip to Amsterdam, turning 25, spent my actual birthday, like woke up in Amsterdam on my birthday. And that was like a goal. And I ended up calling my mom the night of my birthday. I called her and I was in tears and I said, can you please come pick me up? And she's like, it doesn't work like that. And I said, well, I have had the worst birthday of my life being here. And this was supposed to be like, right, I set this expectation that it was going to be the best birthday ever, because I was celebrating in a different country, mm-hmm. you know, and it was going to be so grand and amazing and great. And I'm just going to say, don't travel with people you don't know. It is truly the worst idea. I traveled with another flight attendant and had only ever worked one trip with her before, and all was gravy on the trip. But oh man, when you took her outside of work, she was a completely different person, and it was the worst trip. But anyways, what I learned was, in traveling, the trips that I went on where I had no expectations, no plans, I didn't book any excursions, I had literally a ticket there and a ticket home, and I knew the hotel or Airbnb or hostel I was staying at. That was it. And I would wake up and go do the day. That was the times where I stumbled upon some of the coolest, unexpected, fun things. And I just found that there was so much pure joy, because it was almost like you were adventuring. Mm-hmm. and finding something on your adventure, right? Like as a little kid, you're like a treasure hunt and you find this big treasure at the end of your treasure hunt. And it's, oh my gosh, that was that joy it gave me, was because there was no expectation. So I've found that expectations, not having them, truly did bring me a lot of joy. I've just only learned how to do that though with travel. I haven't learned how to implement that into real life. Say,
Dr. Sam, can you give me the secret for not putting expectations on certain people or situations?
If you plan a trip, I can tell you don't make any plans. It's easy for traveling, but it's not easy in real life. But I'm learning now. So this is just as building walls and learning about boundaries. That's something that's prevalent. Expectations is also prevalent in my life right now as well. I feel like there are people in my life that are holding me to some expectations and I'm not able to meet them at this time. And I'm fearful that I'm disappointing them, but also trying to stay in my lane at the same time. Mm-hmm. And in my walk with the Lord, this is very new for me as well. My relationship with God is so new. I think really just like staying in my lane and hanging out with God, and the two of us are chatting and I'm spending time with Him, instead of thinking about all of that, I just try to like pull in the peripheral vision to just make it a tunnel vision on God and pray about it. For me, it's like, God, I'm not meeting this expectation, or God, I set this expectation of someone and they're not meeting it. And wow, is it hurting my feelings? And wow, is it causing a lot of resentment and anger and frustration? It's something that you and I talked about. It's funny because we always seem to like bring it back to conversations that you and I have offline. But you had told me, like, if you keep intervening, how are they going to, I don't know that this is fitting for this moment because it's a little bit different, but it was basically like, if you keep intervening, how are they going to find God? So, right. It's like, it was a different topic, but it's kind of the same thing. Like if I keep meddling and intervening and trying to control and set the expectation, how am I going to find the joy that that person is going to give me naturally if I keep setting them up to fail? So to answer your question, I'm trying to stay in my own lane, just me and God in the car. I feel like I did a terrible job answering your question.
No, it's okay.
I'm trying to just bring it back to the Word, bring it back to God. Before we wrap this up, I just put it out there because it's something I've kind of thrown it a little bit your way, but we haven't really given a lot of thought to it. I want to open up the question and see what kind of feedback we get. I'm interested in starting some kind of Bible study, whether it's in person, which is more what you were leaning towards. And I kind of had the idea of doing it live on social media, or recording it, pre-recording it, and posting it on a certain day. We will figure out the logistics on the back end, but is a weekly Bible study of some kind something that you'd be interested in? Yes or no?
Leave us some comments. Let us know. I'm sorry if you've seen me smirk the whole time while you were saying that.
Because you were thinking about it? Or you're like, I hope she's not going to talk about this.
No. This is God confirming, and He does these things, and He will. That's another reason, that's another way you know if it's from God. Number one, yes, it aligns with His Word, but a lot of times we're like, well, just confirm it again and confirm it again, or give me confirmation, or let me know this is from You. If it will not go away, then the Lord's like, hello, how many more signs do you need to? So the reason why I'm smirking is because, yes, we had talked about it. It's been something on my heart to want to do a weekly Bible study, whether we meet up at a park and do it in person and then still do record it during that time and post it. We will figure out the logistics, but that has been something on my heart. I know we talked about it before, but I had a friend about 3 weeks ago tell me, hey, do you have any, you know, studies or a book in the Bible that you can recommend? I think we should do a Bible study together, or I'm looking for a Bible study. And I kind of would like your feedback on it. Okay. So I shared some things with her. Then I had another friend who I consider a mentor, who is new in his faith, also reach out and text and say, hey, I just finished this book in the Bible. Which book do you recommend next? So I gave him some examples and he says, okay. And then about a week ago, I received a text showing a bunch of women gathered together at a park. And that text read, just saw all these women together. Made me think of you. Pray on it and let me know what you think. And I immediately responded back and said, I know where you're going with this. I can already tell you without having to pray. I know where this is leading. Me meeting up with women at a park weekly for a Bible study. And he was like, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, okay, Lord, you've given me like this. And then like you're sharing it all within like a 3-week time frame. So that's why I'm smiling, because I'm like, okay, I've been wanting to do it, but I've been dragging my feet and I have not pushed it forward. But this is the Lord. This is the same thing with the podcast. This was a while in the making, but it never left. It's the same thing with this. So now I know what I need to do. I think it'd be something beneficial for all of us to get together and learn. So
I agree.
Okay, Lord, I hear you.
Yep.
I will move when you tell me to move.
I think he's telling you to move right now.
He is.
Let's plan it.
Because that literally is like the fourth time in less than 3 weeks that specific topic came up. Okay, God. I'm not pouting. Of course I want to do that. It's just when you're comfortable.
Yeah, of course.
You're comfortable, but you're not growing when you're comfortable. But most important, it's not about me. My heart more than anything wants to connect with other women, help them develop their relationship in the Lord. And what better way to do that than to meet with women and have a Bible study?
Yes, ma'am. Buckle up.
So
get ready.
You know what's coming. If you're interested, chime in, put the little hand up emoji, let us know. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm interested. I want to know the details. I would love to get together and join your guys' weekly Bible study.
Yes. Real quick, one more thing. We are now on, I've updated it and added us onto a few other platforms. We're now on YouTube, which is mostly where I think our views are coming from. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music. You can find us there. So we are now on 4 different streaming services. Is it called streaming? Is that right?
I have no idea. You're asking a 41-year-old.
I said streaming service, and the Netflix logo popped up in my brain, and I was like, wait a second, this might be wrong.
Don't come at us, you 20-year-olds.
Yeah, Gen Z.
Sorry.
Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
Anyways, we're on 4 now.
We are. That's huge.
It is huge.
Congratulations to us, and I'm so grateful for you and the work that you put in to put us on these platforms, and we can now officially say we are on podcast and Apple Music. That is so crazy to me.
Yeah. 8 episodes in and we're still growing, which is good. We'll always grow. But I mean, 8 episodes in and we're making it happen.
We thank you ladies so much for joining us. As always, if any of this was helpful or you connected with it, we appreciate the likes. Share this with your friends. And until we see you next time, we appreciate you. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.